Blog Talk Radio.
Sisters, we're back. Yes, indeed, we're back. Back again. Another episode. Yes, a very, very precious episode. Another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edom Yah, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High, yes, indeed, for the opportunity to be back with you here again. I welcome you to the show. Indeed, I thank the Most High for every ear. Yes, for every ear that He brings near. The Most High has told me. Yes, indeed, He has told me. And I have for Him some very important things for Him to do. Very important things for His cause that I must do. For He told me, my brothers and sisters, that in doing that which He has asked of me, He said to me that I would have His protection, His guidance. That I can only be utmost thankful. The Most High has told me. Yes, indeed He has told me. That I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. Men done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, pervert, to silence, and if they could, to destroy. Well, tonight's show's a little bit later. A lot of things to be spoken about still, nevertheless. And I'm not going to try to make the show as extended as so many of the earlier shows have been, but I just want to get to the point. Something's afoot. My brothers and sisters, something is definitely afoot. Think about it. Last few weeks. A lot of serious gatherings of apparent world rulers. Obama has met with one way or another the papacy a few times already this year. The Pope met with Netanyahu, president, if you will, of Israel, Prime Minister of Israel. Met with a former leader, Shimon Peres. Has met with an interfaith gatherings with Israeli leaders. Palestinian leaders, even having Islamic prayers in the Vatican. The Pope has called forth Protestant leaders like Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland. He's even called forth a gathering with the Mormon president, Mormon perhaps soon to be prospective, if you will, is already prospective presidential candidate. Supposedly, in the interest of peace, they've had mutual interfaith, if you will, prayers. Each one praying for their, asking one another to pray for their leadership. Earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Yah is one. He is eternally one. He has said in Isaiah 48 that he is not pleased that men have sworn by his name, but not in truth, not seeking all the truth, not in all righteousness. He says we have to refine his people. What does he say? He said, we'll not give his glory to another. He did not create this world to be divided. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, those who know the truth, Isaiah 1st chapter, it's the reason why the scripture says, come let us reason together. And it means reason is one with the one Most High. I did not say that people should pray for the preservation of a multitude of diverse rulerships. Again, Yah is one. What does it really mean? What it means, my brothers and sisters, is that since Yah is one, and he is not pleased by any of the partial nor polluted standards of men, that the reason, for instance, 2,000 years ago, Messiah sent his disciples saying, go forth and convert all the nations, ultimately unto the rule of one, is because, quite frankly, think about it, he never would have said such a thing relating the need to convert if the whole world had not been deceived. Revelation 12:19. All the prophecies concerning the appearing of Messiah. Places like Isaiah 41 going into 42. Isaiah 59. Psalm 2. Psalm 14. Psalm 53. So many places relate again and again the reason why Messiah comes. For the whole world has believed a pack of lies. The whole world believed a multitude of misrepresentations. The whole world has trusted after a multitude of illusions that have insulted the Most High, that men have compared the varied misrulerships of men as if they were rightly representative in all respects to the will of the one Most High. Again, my brothers and sisters, Messiah would not have said 2,000 years ago that all nations need to be converted. If anyone is upon a foundation that he had called wise. Even Israel, 2,000 years ago, was under a priesthood that Rome had established after Rome had murdered the priests of Israel some few decades before the birth of Messiah. It's apparent if we're going to talk about a conversion of a world, it's because the various divisions of this world are all the result in so many ways of what has been a hostile takeover upon, upon this world, intrusions upon this world of hostile, even if you will, lawless spirits that by no means are true to the will of the one Most High. All of them in some respect deviate if they are not one with the one Yah. Some people will sit back and say, or want to believe, that some of these divisions we see among men are somehow viable unto salvation. Most High made his, made man, my brothers and sisters, to be a habitation for his spirit. It's the reason why the scripture says man must overcome the world. Nobody's going to be a, if you will, Greco-Trojan horse, if you will. To bring in a pack of lies into the kingdom of the Most High. It's the reason why the scripture says you must overcome the world. The reason why the scripture says you must be born again. Well, if, think about it. If any form of polluted or perverse testimony was considered a holy covenant to be confirmed, satisfactory, stable before the Most High, it's like saying that the adversary could bring all his demons in. Saying that somehow the Most High has to accept it. My brothers and sisters, Most High has already said he will not deny himself. He will not profane his name. He will not give his glory to another. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, no question about it. He said by his spirit he would teach all things, bring all things to remembrance, rebuke all sin. Meaning that if men were utmost diligent, true to the spirit of the Most High, the Most High would reveal the path beyond every illusion. Most have been not considered, though, while the Most High said, through Messiah, broad is the road that leads to destruction, narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and few are they that find it. Most do not realize why he said after that, watch out for false prophets. Few find the way, true way unto life. Because, my brothers and sisters, they have trusted in false prophets, fallen testimony. Foolishly deceptive doctrines, after which no man can be counted or confirmed true unto the one Most High. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. I see something afoot. Like I said, various world leaders, including also well, like I said, we know Obama has. No two Israeli rulers, leaders have. Palestinian leader has. Leader of England has. He's called John Osteen. The Pope has called them to gather to the Vatican, where they all have sanctioned. The Pope is somehow a righteous leader. Amazing, my brothers and sisters. Truly amazing. What's going on right now? Protestant and Catholic rulers joining together. And we know who are wise that we know who are wise that what the scriptures mean when it talks about the idea that they call Babylon the mother of harlots. Well, my brothers and sisters, ancient Babylon, over and over again, has been the reason why so many have sold out against the single-mindedness that is the salvation of the soul. After rulers have taken control of the lands, men have been willing to trust in contradictive rulerships, wars created by men, creating enemies so that so many, after the various allegiances of this earth, are led to believe that they need and must have and must trust in, must even give their allegiances to institutions of man, hypocritical, so often against the righteousness of Yah. Nation oppresses nation. Wars break out. People feel like they have to defend whatever nation they're in according to their nativity. And have to sanction whatever injustices nations do. An ultra-nationalist plot so as to protect their own. And the truth of the matter, brothers and sisters, if man is in allegiance to any of these impurities, there's no salvation of his soul. I think about it, my brothers and sisters. I think about it. And I wonder how many will really be prepared to understand and see through the schemes that are presently afoot. They create tensions, my brothers and sisters, to herd men into trusting deceivers. And it's all about control. It's amazing, my brothers and sisters, what's really going on here. Think about it. The gospel went forth to liberate the nations, because they all must have been in some way tools of deception. Revelation 12 and 9 talks about how the adversaries deceive the whole world. Scripture talks about how after the gospel went forth, the nations retaliated against the purity of a complete, consummate, pure word. The scripture says, because of that, Messiah prophesied of it, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Revelation 6, for those who understand it. All these prophecies again and again speak about how the systems, the various principalities and powers, already extant iniquities, injustices of the principalities and powers would intrude and seek to destroy the pure faith and establish what the scriptures call something having horns like a lamb and speaking as a dragon. A false faith, a counterfeit, a pretense. Not true unto Yah, but whose founding impetus and design and agenda is still that of the variant, deviant standard of this world, causing men to worship a false concept of a Savior. Causing men to believe that whether they believe the pure, perfect truth or not, though salvation is by faith, causing men to somehow desire to believe or desire to believe, that if they somehow just trust in whatever standard they've been born to, that somehow, though these are in so many ways precepts and doctrines of men, and somehow the Most High finds it acceptable. That men, so often, have the opportunity to see the truth, have only insulted the Most High because of the allegiances they already have endorsed. I think it's amazing. It happens over and over again. Think about it. Adversary deceived and took with him a third of the angels. Compelling so many to consider themselves self-righteous, consider themselves righteous unto themselves. My brothers and sisters, in the book of Enoch, it talks about how angels had forgotten the name and the oath, meaning they've forgotten the nature of a covenant, and somehow in their fallen state, they couldn't see fully the reasoning, if you will, to accept fully the discipline of the Most High. In the garden, I see the same thing. Hostile takeover. Enemy spirit take hold of the minds. Compel people to believe that they could be God the godly without the pure, perfect will of the Most High. The intrusions of principalities and powers having no intention to be true to the faith that Yeshua sent forth to the nations. They compel people to believe that in their compromises, the men have somehow a new covenant. Wow. None of which are refreshing or remembrance what the Most High said is eternal from the beginning. After these hostile intrusions, there have been a multitude of compromises. They may have wanted to believe that these compromises were still yet wise, because after being deceived to a certain level, men have no power to deliver themselves beyond their misconceits. And therefore, since men have no power to deliver themselves from the misconceits, knowing not the righteousness of Yah, so many have sought to be confirmed or call themselves steadfast after whatever illusions seem wise in their own hearts, willing to fight, argue, make war, even insult the Most High himself if they were told the truth. It proves foolish what seems to men to be wise. But that's exactly what the scriptures say the Messiah must do. He must prove foolish to what seems to be wise. He can't uphold it. Did you hear what I'm saying? The Most High can't uphold a lie. He can't sanction the lie. He can't confirm the lie. And quite frankly, he will sign with his name no contract that he himself did not, and all things upon it, write. The men have desired to believe otherwise, simply because so often they've given themselves allegiance, given themselves an allegiance to systems that by no means are true to the fullness of the contract. Scripture says you add anything to it, you add damnation to your soul, you take anything away, take away your opportunity toward eternal life. But nevertheless, men have believed that somehow after compromises, worldly compromises, under systemic hypocrisies, they were still delivered from an illusion. Brothers and sisters, like I said, hostile takeovers. Think about it. The earth was created as a habitation for the Holy Spirit. Other designs, entities, if you will, illusions have entered the earth. And once they took power, they compelled those who were born under those territorial divisions they've created, compelled them to swear allegiance to these hypocrisies, misrepresentations. So that if men were granted the opportunity to see the truth, after they've given themselves over to such illusions, their first inclination is to insult, blaspheme, deny, even call a curse the higher discipline of the Most High that they would be offered to save them, to fight against their own opportunity, fight against an opportunity to at last be free from those who deceive. Well, my brothers and sisters, like I said, they put forth a lot of schemes to compel men to uphold false institutionality. And it's time we really need to understand what the scriptures mean in Colossians 2, it said, beware the intrusion. It said, beware the intrusion of the principalities and powers. We need to understand why he said in Jude that there were those who come and have come, perverting the grace of the truth of the Most High, cause men to fall victim to the intrusion of surreptitious, sneaky, if you will, liars, to pervert the faith, compelling men after what is ultimately unbelief, a multitude of divisions, damnations, condemnation, divisions, curses. Because quite frankly, if we look around and we see a multitude of differing rulers and we choose to trust in them, my brothers and sisters, that's no covenant with the Most High at all. But nevertheless, we see all these various rulers gathering together, so-called, supposedly after Western imperialism, they call themselves Christian rulers, gathering together. And then we see the rise of this sudden, seemingly sudden, it's been around for a while, this group, they're, you can say gestating, just waiting to make their appearance. Amazing timing for it all. This group they call ISIS. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? This group that has now taken power. Lord, has taken a tremendous amount of territory. More than has been for a very long time. in Islamic territories. They call themselves, strangely enough, ISIS. What is ISIS? What if you had heard that term a while back, not that long ago, this suddenly prevalent thing that is now called the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. ISIS. If you heard that term a while back, you would know that to be the pagan goddess of Egypt and Babylon. I think it's strange, my brothers and sisters, that we see the purveyance of an illusion seemingly being set. How many know the prophecies of, you would have to call him Catholic, yes, the Catholic, Roman Catholic prophet they call Nostradamus, who, while the East was at war, had been at war. The West had been at war with the East after the rise of Islam. I said after the rise of Islam. Nostradamus prophesied of a Muslim, a Mohammedan, he called Antichrist. Wow. And then we see this thing, ISIS, rising up. A type of caliphate has been declared. A leader named Abu Bakr al-Bin al-Baghdadi has declared himself a type of supreme ruler, calling all of Islamic faith everywhere to bow to his authority. Wow. Roman Catholic prophet called Nostradamus made a prediction of something of this sort. And there are those who for a long time have called, not realizing that what the Roman Western polytheist institution actually is. Did you hear me? What it is nothing but a representation, a present-day mystery representation of ancient Babylon. But they would try to present themselves, though it's true that the intrusion of the West, polytheist West in the East, create a false church, and to oppress the faith that already had been there. Actually, my brothers and sisters, in so many ways, many have chosen not to see it, but that intrusion has been responsible for the creation of Islam. Don't think one time that this one they call Ibn Abdullah Muhammad, that he was true in any way, the Holy One that had given an eternal and everlasting covenant to the children of Israel, promising, in fact, the coming of one called Shiloh, through whom all the world would see beyond all the pretenses of man and all their rulers. Islam has maintained, however, this concept of one they call a Mahdi. But how many of my brothers and sisters understand that Jeremiah speaks of one called the King of the Medes, through whom Babylon would be destroyed once and for all? Scripture talks about early on the one called Shiloh, the Messiah, the Shashan Shah, the King of Kings, the righteous one, Scripture calls him the righteous one like unto the rising sun that casts out all the darkness, that reveals the light the world would obscure in Isaiah 41. Scripture talks about him destroying, we really understand the prophecies, first of Babylon in the east, in the latter days of Babylon to the west, but finally in the latter days destroying what has been the confusion of the nations once and for all. Those who know the truth know the prophecies, even in Isaiah, speak of him appearing not once, not twice, but three times. Like I said, once to destroy a Babylon in the east to set his people free, and the latter days destroy a Babylon west to set his people free. Ultimately, in that third time, exposing the confusion of all the nations from the rising sun to the west across the entire globe. And one time to give his life, expose all the miscreant rulers and rulerships of this world, whether Jew or Gentile. Well, there's a lot to speak about that, my brothers and sisters. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, there's a need to check out an article on my website, Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. Look up hiddengospel.com, Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation, and find out what was the expectation of the early church. Many have chosen not to examine the prophecies fully enough to understand who Yeshua said that he is. When he said he's the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. Who bore that title, my brothers and sisters? The one that is written of at Isaiah 41. The one that is written of at Isaiah 45. The one that is written of in Malachi 4 and 2. Son of righteousness that arises. Revelation 7 and 2 calls an angel from the rising sun. The one before whom he said the rivers will be dried up. Men finally sin beyond the foolish mindscape of men. Revelation 16:12-21 calls him the king of the east, and Messiah says, "Behold, I come." How many understand, my brothers and sisters, that 2,600 years ago, the one that was called Cyrus the Great, in your King James Version, whose empire was called Kurdistan for a reason. Like I said, you need to check out that article on my website. He was called and believed by those in the east to be Shiloh 2,600 years ago. After his reign, Malachi at 4 and 2, Malachi 2:16-3 and 4, they're talking about the Lord for whom you seek, same thing as he for whom you are waiting. The Lord for whom you are waiting. Isaiah 40:27-41:4. All the same one, my brothers and sisters, the same one, the Son of Righteousness who arises, the scriptures speak of, same one, my brothers and sisters, was called that one called Shiloh, remember, there to the ancient believer, and quite frankly, there's evidence and text that were not brought into your King James Version, a one called the Theosion. Another word for a savior, Messiah, an anointed one. But come, like I said, not once, not twice, but three times. Isaiah 11 talks about him coming a second time to do what he did before. What did he do before? Like I said, Zechariah 3 and 8, Malachi 4 and 2, after his reign, talked about his return. When they put down there the branch, the word there, samach, also means one called sunrise. And the Aramaic targum is related to the man who is called the east, or sunrise, should give righteous rule to the earth. However, most have not considered who it is that the father, for instance, of John the Baptist, Zechariah, haven't considered at 178 who he was talking about when he called Messiah the day spring from on high. Some texts say sunrise. The apostle, Caiaphas, he called Peter. You need to read 1:19 through 21. He calls Messiah the morning star. Revelation, around two, read about 2:27 and 2:29. He said, those who overcome and keep the fullness of his works. He said he would give them the morning star. How about, like I said before, the discipline that he had received from the Father, the light that cast out all the darkness. The light of truth, my brothers and sisters, that delivers men from all the powers of darkness. Those who would hide the truth from you to keep you from ever attaining to the perfection of the covenant. How many understand, my brothers and sisters, that the scriptures in Isaiah 44:20 through 45:6 relate exactly what's at 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 4:5, speaking about how Messiah will have to come to reveal the hidden things, prove foolish the wisdom of the wise. Scripture talks about the idea of any man consider himself wise after the multitude of confusion of this world, that he'll consider himself a fool that he may become wise. Anybody who believes that all these divisions in this world are a work of the Holy Spirit, well, my brothers and sisters, Most High told me such as this cannot be a disciple unto the Most High, because they're easily gullible after everybody's illusion. If they believe that everybody's partiality and pollution and devious standard is somehow true of the Most High, my brothers and sisters, the souls of men are not compelled to seek the fullness of the truth they should have. A multitude of contentious ideas can never be, as I said, never be true to the will of one. But we live in a world today where leaders are seeking to gather themselves together, trying to gather various factions and all their differences together, still not true to the remembrance that scriptures say is offered by the Holy Spirit, that scripture says, seek to teach all things, bring all things to remembrance, even the word of truth that is from the beginning. The men might not be subject to any foolish, false, deceptive, partial, misrule. I find it amazing, my brothers and sisters. It's like all the various rulers of this world and all their differences are doing exactly what the scriptures spoke about, but at a heightened level, what's related to Psalms 2. So the kings of the earth are taking counsel against the Most High and against his anointed. That's why they imagine vain things. Desirous that the truth of the Most High, even the truth of his anointed, not ever be revealed to set the people free beyond the yoke of bondage to the confusion of mankind. Because believe me, a multitude of diverse standards is total antipathy against the faith. And the rulers have gathered themselves saying that they seek peace. It's just a show, my brothers and sisters, an international plot. Create ultimately, my brothers and sisters, these various tensions, like I said, to herd the masses, to trust deceivers. And it's all about control. They've been doing this at a very hurried rate. A very hurried rate of late. Right around the time of what? What's upcoming? What they call their Independence Day? A time when people, so many are filled with their patriotic fervor. Yes, indeed, it's something to think about. Something to think about. And I think, like I say, about this institution they call ISIS. Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, that has claimed more territory, seeking common dominion, than anything being seen for quite a few centuries. And the Roman Catholic Church would call that an anti-savior when they themselves are founded in what is called Mariology. Queen of Heaven, Isis worshipped. But they would sit back and say that they're plotting. Or let's just say they're in some way would contend one against the other. Compel people to believe that the corruption that we see in the West is somehow true to Yah. Now, my brothers and sisters, every bit of it is a lie. Every bit of it. So I find it amazing that most by default, being born in this world, like one scripture says, born from the womb speaking lies. Most speaking lies. Most by default, in the orientation of their nativity, don't come here questioning the authority of those in places of power. They fight to uphold the deceits that in this system they are born under. Like I said, predisposed from the beginning, from the time they get here, to insult the Most High affair, suddenly called to give attention to the fact that all that they have known has been a deception. You know, the Most High told me, first waking up, he says, Mama says this, Daddy says that, pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, he said, all have something different to say about me. But he told me that if I wanted to know him, why could I not ask him and believe that he could answer? Well, I began to do that. I began to understand all the more when Messiah said, in effect, your righteousness must exceed that of all your leaders. Matthew 5:14-24. Said your righteousness must exceed that of all your contentious leaders who deny the law and the prophets are not true to divine order. He said, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. In fact, he said, if you fall victim to any of these rulers who deny the law and the prophets, who insult the righteousness of the Most High, who not knowing the righteousness of Yah, believing that simply reading the scriptures, they discern all the secrets that are contained in it without faith, that Yah is wiser, seeking to establish their own righteousness, or can be confirmed by their own misconceits. He says, you fall victim to any of those, or you become one of those who are accomplices to systems, who compel men to call themselves wise, or yet foolishly antagonistic against what the Most High has declared. He says, anyone who would do this is guilty unto hellfire. How is it, my brothers and sisters, the Most High believes he's compromised his name, denied himself, the men might be called delivered from an illusion? Most High will not profane his name. How many of my brothers and sisters in these last days are prepared, in spite of all the illusions of false righteousness declared by men, is prepared that when Messiah does appear, knows how he shall appear? Scripture said in advance the rulers would hide that from you too. Knowing how he appears, be prepared to hearken to him. There's an article on my website called, there's an article on my website called The Secret City Prophecies. It needs to be looked at. Zephaniah, third chapter, talks about Messiah in the midst of a confused and wicked city, lawless city, reproving the unrighteousness of men, declaring a standard that does not fall short. Because men have become self-righteous and say the wicked of the lawless know no shame. Isaiah 49 speaks about Messiah saying, listen to me, O isles, and hearken to me, O you nations. The Most High has called me from the womb and from the body of my mother. He made mention of his name, he said. Called him to his purpose. To reveal what is divine glory beyond all the illusions of man at a time when the Most High has looked upon men and said, there was none righteous, none that does good, no, not one. So he sends a righteous one who he promises that he would awaken beyond all the blasphemous hypocrisies and misrepresentations of men, that those who would reason would have a chance, chance to wake up beyond the illusion. But that, too, my brothers and sisters, is something that has not been taught. I see someone called Lion021 in the chat. My brothers and sisters, there's a real serious need to examine what was meant by the days of Lot and Noah. in Luke 21, Matthew 24. Understand that Lot warned a city before its destruction. Noah warned the world. And Messiah told them that when the time comes, basically was telling them to prepare to leave. And he said that, apparently, according to all the prophecies relating to the implications that are contained therein, that most would not listen. And they asked, where would that be? Look at the latter verse of Luke 17. And he said, wherever the carcass is, there were the vultures gathered. The next scriptures to go on and talk about again about a city. Like I said, Isaiah 24 through 27, speak about that city, particularly 24, 10 through 16. 25, 1 through 3 through 10, talk again about that city. 27, 9 through 12, talk again about that city. One of the first prophecies in the Bible concerning Messiah, 24, chapter of Numbers, 14 through 17 through 19, talks about Messiah come to destroy whoever preserved the ways of that wicked city. How about that wicked system that men have trusted in? Zephaniah 3, I mentioned. Hosea 11, 5 through 12 speaks of it. Amos 3 speaks of it as a, talks about the Most High destroying a wicked city to establish a standard whereby Israel shall become a people again, suddenly as if it were one day. I'm talking about Amos. Well, Amos 3 talks about the idea about the seven thunders, spoken again in Revelation 10. It says, the trumpet be blown in the city and people be not afraid. Talk about the destruction of that city, and all of a sudden the knowledge of the Most High is not pleased goes forth to all the nations. Suddenly. Same things in Revelation 6, 12 through 7, 2 through 7, 17. Messiah comes, the scripture says in Isaiah 49, to awaken all Israel and to bring his people back to him, even to declare what is the salvation, the word of truth, absolute word of truth, beyond all the illusions of this world, even to all the nations. But my brothers and sisters, these are truths written in scripture that seems that most people are just waiting for what? The principals and powers, the leaders to tell them. They can't believe them until, even though it's written in the scriptures over and over again, can't believe it until the status quo says it's so. You wait that long, my brothers and sisters, you may never have an opportunity to wake up at all. Like I said, there's been a multitude of hostile takeovers, my brothers and sisters. And after men have taken over, they've declared false concepts of deity. Did you hear me? I said false concepts of deity. Compel men to worship those. And afterwards, men have been willing to give their very lives in defense of a lie. Against the truth. Most High seeks to tell them the truth. Men can prepare to insult, predisposed to believe a lie and to behold it. Who, my brothers and sisters, is going to wake up beyond all these illusions in due time? I gave myself a little bit extra time tonight. I say again, I gave myself a little extra time tonight. It might not show up on your when you look at the splash opening screen for the show. But I gave myself a little extra time tonight, and I'm hoping that some of you will be able to hang on. I see someone that has called in from the 845 Exchange. I'm going to open up the line to talk to the caller, and hopefully if you don't hear the entire conversation, sometimes Blog Talk seeks to cut things off. But if you don't hear the entire of the conversation, the rest of it will be in the archives. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line for the caller from 845. I see someone here that apparently has a couple of questions. I'd like to entertain them for the moment. And looking for reasonable questions, because this is not a time to play. So let's see what we have here. Hello, caller.
Hey, what's up, man? Good tonight. This is Andrew calling from the
I can barely hear you, sir.
I had a slight echo in the background there.
Yeah, I do hear that. Yes, go ahead, sir.
Okay. Basically, I had a couple questions. I should write these things down. But I believe that the word is written on the heart. So I'm not typically a Bible scholar, but maybe I am. I just don't know yet. I don't know. But I'm aware of the situation, and I've listened to a couple of the archive shows, and basically, well, you talk about the truth, man, and it's real. So I probably should check out some more of the archive shows, and I'll be able to get my questions answered. But I just heard like a couple things you were saying as far as there's a takeover that.
Oh, there's been a multitude of hostile takeovers. In other words, think about it. Sir, since the dawn of human fall, think about it this way. The Most High declared a standard to mankind that's an eternal one throughout the ages, okay? You understand what I'm saying when I say that? He said in the beginning was the Word was with Yah, the Word was Yah. The Most High has a plan from the beginning, a purpose for his people. That's an eternal one. Does not change. What he planned from the beginning, that's the eventuality. We should all have that same common sense of what is divine expectation, that we even be able to cooperate faithfully together. The problem that's by and large existed, however, is that various institutions of man have sought to ensnare the thinking of the people after alternate agendas. Think about it. Jeremiah 30:10. Yeah, 30:10 through 11, Jeremiah said the Messiah, in order to set people free, was going to have to make a full end of all these institutions that have scattered his people, both physically and spiritually, that he restore a covenant, meaning that all these distractions were never a covenant. Did you hear me? None of these distractions were ever a covenant.
How many good people, imagine if God was to just say, all right, that's it, and basically, how many institutions would people get caught up in? You know what I mean? I can't figure out where to draw the line. I have an idea, and I know what needs to happen, because the Bible says, come out of her, my people. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of people have this
Have men discerned beyond all the multitude of misrepresentations, pollutions, and partialities, how to deliver themselves beyond it? Men don't have that kind of discretion. There's a lot of truth that I can only tell you. The scripture says the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance. A lot of truth that you're not going to hear from your rulers, certainly not in this age. And the scripture said in advance that the leaders wouldn't tell you. Read Isaiah 41, it tells you in advance. The leaders are not going to tell you. They're concerned about their pulpits and thrones far more than they're concerned about you discerning where they have hypocritically been negligent. Therefore, the scripture says salvation is by faith. That does not mean it's after, you know, trusting whatever you hear your leaders tell you. There's some things that you're going to have to learn from the Most High directly himself. That's not what they want to tell you. The scripture says he will write, describe, teach his law upon the minds and hearts of you. Be his people. No longer subject to those, everybody saying know the Lord, but then, quite frankly, maybe there's a whole lot of truth about him they have not known. So most of them not realize that in so many ways, Most High has a perfect plan. When I say a perfect plan, it's a perfect and complete plan. You take anything from it, add anything to it, hey, if something doesn't work, you can have a...
But you know, yeah, man, you know, I know of the absoluteness of the Creator. I know about, I mean, as far as I can foresee, being a flesh mortal or whatever, but I basically what gives me that implication is that there's things beyond the five senses.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, so I basically, what the Bible tells you about how these people, the These people are very crafty. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that term means. So,
have you had a chance to look yet at the article on my website called Secret City Prophecies?
Oh, yeah, I looked at that.
Hey.
Yeah,
like
it was about...
There's a lot of prophecies in the Bible that actually speak that Messiah... Well, some people are thinking about this rapture doctrine, which, if you really believe rapture doctrine, there's so many truths in the Bible that you cannot believe and apparently don't understand that this is almost incalculable to count. But, like I said, rapture doctrine seems to tell people that an indiscriminate people are acceptable, impossible. Most of us are not going to pollute his name. He's not going to confirm the lies that are on people's heads. People are not going to be, let's say, vessels through which a multitude of lies, if you get my point, what I'm saying, shall filthy up what the Most High calls holy. It's just simply not going to happen.
Like the swine, and they tell you that to eat pork is okay, when the Bible clearly it tells you otherwise.
Absolutely not. And he is absolutely like that. The Creator is not indescript about his law. He's quite precise. But live in a society that has no intention oftentimes to see the implications of what's written. But what I was going to simply say, what I was going to say to you very simply, the prophecy is absolutely declared, the Most High declared someone who would expose all the unrighteousnesses of the nations, and the ones who would be delivered, preserved, are the ones who are willing to reason with him.
One all right, would you just said about
these differences?
So
Go ahead.
Most High, I've had three questions. I don't want to forget them, but you just said an interesting point. You said so the Most High is going to appoint someone to expose all the information or something like that?
Expose all the false righteousness, all the foolish standards of men. Need to read, for instance, in comparison to Isaiah 44:20 to 45:6, really all the way out to 43:15, in particular comparison to 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 4:5. And the scripture says, in this wise, it says, let no man consider himself so wise before the time, till the Lord, in this case it's talking about Messiah, comes to reveal the hidden things or the things that men have not considered. It could also be translated, till he comes to reveal or expose those who hide the truth from you. And then it says, so every man know how to praise. The word for praise also is a word that relates honor. Know how to honor the Most High. Many say they praise him, but if their worship is after the fallen precepts of men, do they honor him? And believe me, there's a big difference.
Of vain traditions. I got a question about, so is Christ supposed to come from the sky,
no,
or is he going to be, so he's going to be on earth, or he's here right now?
Which is actually related to Isaiah 45, and I don't really, just to be quite frank with you, I'm going to tell you, that term Christ is pagan. That might sound funny when I tell you this, but the origin of that term Christ.
Yes. Tell me. Man, because I've been learning a lot of stuff, man, but like as far as the Ethiopic text and stuff like that. So I already know that the white Jesus, the image that they put on, that's what they did, that's how they explain it. But
excuse me for a second. We were off the line for a moment. We're back in, and I didn't get a chance to hear exactly what you were saying there for a second. But remember what I was just saying, that the term Christ is actually a Greco-Roman term, and it relates the concept of one that would sanction all the various, give you an idea, sanction all the various ideas of the kings. When the scripture says the one called Shiloh or the Kurdee, if you would, if you really want to examine what the ancient texts have to say, the righteous one, would expose the unrighteousness of all these rulers to establish one rule. That's what he said when he said, all power, authority has been given to me from on high. Therefore, go forth and convert, make disciples, teach all the nations. He said everything he declares. With the baptism, the concept is they baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It means unto the full authority or the discipline declared by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it really relates to the idea that there's a need to convert beyond all fallen standards unto the will of one. But most have not discerned that if we have some 45,000 denominations in the world today, 280 nations, it's because men have not hearkened to the fullness of the gospel.
All right.
But the gospel lays a whole complete standard. Go ahead.
Is he going to come from the sky, or
no.
Is he like, oh, man, so that means if God could be on the planet right now and just nobody, everybody's just walking around regular. And
read Zephaniah 3, 1 through 5. Read Isaiah 49, 1 through 6. Read it out to the 17th verse and realize that Revelation, if you read from the 6th chapter, a revelation out to 7:17, particularly the 16th and 17th verses. That 49th verse, 49:10 of Isaiah, directly compares to Revelation 7:17, relating that Isaiah 49 is a latter-day prophecy. Isaiah 42 says, "Behold my servant, my elect, whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him." Meaning that the ancient concept of the Messiah was never somebody comes out of the sky. It was an idea of an anointed man. If it says in Isaiah 49, it says, "From the body of my mother has he made mention of my name." That is an anointed man. Most have not understood, for instance, Matthew 24, it says words like, "And after those days, and then after that." It's a chronology. There's a scripture there that talks about if any man says, and then if any man should say, "Behold, here is Christ," or there, he said, don't believe it. But if you look at those scriptures, it's talking about those first three centuries in which Rome murderously persecuted the early church, and it said, after that time will come a rise of false prophets. That means that the so-called church that men have trusted thereafter has been a false one. The rulers won't tell you that, because it means what they're teaching right now is not perfect nor complete. And the scriptures in 2 Thessalonians tells you that that corruption will remain among all institutionality until Messiah comes to expose it all by the testimony of the spirit of his mouth in the latter days.
All right, so this time, so after when he exposes it, what happens next? Are we going to enter like
59, Isaiah 59 talks about it this way. And if you look at Isaiah 59, 19 through 21, compared to Romans 11, 25 through 20, how about 12 and 4? Here's what's critically important about it. In Romans, prophesying of the latter day, the apostle Shaul, they call Paul, used the scriptures in Isaiah 59, 19 through 21 to relate this as something that is to be expected. He said, "My beloved brethren, I'm desirous that you should understand this mystery. For blindness in part will in some degree," get the point, "blindness in part," put it this way, "hold Israel in bondage, captivity, until the times of the Gentiles," that's what it really means, "until the times of the Gentiles, the time of this confusion comes to an end." Meaning that all the diverse standards of this world are in fact bondage to illusion. It means that Gentile nations where Israel will be scattered and have been scattered for a long time would in some way, let's just say, intrude upon the minds and hearts to keep people blind to the greater truth until all these illusions are exposed. And in fact, it's talking about Isaiah 59 when it says, "So shall they revere one called by the name of the Most High." Isaiah 50, 10 and 11 says the same thing. Listen what it really says. It says, "He among you who would revere or would serve the Lord, let him trust in," and they put down the name of the Lord. It means him who is called, once someone who is called by the name of the Most High, "and be saved or delivered," or if you will, "made whole," made worthy to be preserved, if you will, "by his God," or his Holy One. Okay. If scripture goes on from there saying that this one would say that if men trust in the sparks, mean the, let's just say, fleeting, seeming righteousness that men have kindled or created, He said that in his hand they would lie down in sorrow, but those who put their trust in him, he said in Isaiah 57, will inherit the land and possess his holy mountain. Well, if you look at the scriptures in Romans 11:25-27, the verses there come from Isaiah 59:19-21, talks about all the adversaries that stand against people's coming to the knowledge of the truth. He says he would lift up a standard against them. And it says, so shall they revere the name of the Most High from the west to the rising of the sun. And it says, this is my covenant with them, to those who would turn from transgression, not to those who would hold on to it. They say this is a covenant of those who would turn from transgression. How about all the sins of trust and every false allegiance? He says, my covenant, my words, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor your descendants' descendants, henceforth even forever. That is righteousness of a covenant restored to remain in the earth forever. That is the salvation of the coming millennial reign. Most won't talk about it because it basically means that for a long time, whether people are ready to recognize it or not, the scripture said in Romans 11:25-27, that Gentile nations would succeed in blinding the minds to the truth after men have been scattered among these nations and assimilated till Messiah returns. Why the rulers won't tell you this, because it means that they themselves and their multitudes are acting as obstacles against you discerning the perfect light. If you got a multitude of contradictions, a multitude of people saying a multitude of different things, it only confuses the masses. They are the confusers. In fact, they are Babylon.
Yes, sir. Okay. Another question is: does the Bible speak on marijuana?
I don't see scriptures that speak directly in that regard anywhere. Actually, to be tell you the truth, what was your question? However, I'll just say this to you: Most High told me that anything anti-life in any way is sin. I can only tell you that the only contact that man has with his Creator is his mind. So anything that would cause someone be detached in any way from pure inspiration from on high is in some way a detrimental thing. In other words, I'll tell you something that I remember when I was a kid. I remember being about seventh grade and then having to introduce myself to a class. In fact, it was a drama class. And I kind of remember to this day what I actually told them, because we were told at the beginning of the class to think of something in the way of introducing ourselves to the class. And what I told them is this. I said, I don't smoke, drink, pop, snort, or shoot. I'm a human being, not a machine. Look at an old car. When it starts to smoke, drink, pop, snort, or shoot, he says, you have to go buy a new one. I can't buy a new body. I cannot buy a new mind. Scripture tells us, in fact, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Whoever seeks to destroy that temple, Yah will destroy. When I told him, I said, I don't want anything that would make me think, act, react, or react any way different on the way I would in my right mind. And before I could say very much more, the instructor of the class just said, Mr. Ed, I think we understand who you are.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Put it this way. Only thing I want to breathe that might not be ordinary to this planet is a spirit that comes from on high that would enrich the mind.
Man, there's so many mysteries, man. The Bible says it's going to be revealed. Like, it's a lot of stuff, man. I just need to, you wouldn't believe that if I told you. Basically, I was being held captive for 3.5 years on a spiritual level, man, by witches and all type of shit, man. And the way I knew I was just here, just fending off all this stuff on multiple levels, but I went to...
Let me see if I can say something to you first off. Don't think that anything that compels... Well, put it to you this way. Anything that compels men not to know which is which is a witch, is a deceiver. So as far as I'm concerned, that any institution in this world that doesn't want to bring you to a sense of absolution to give you a foundation upon which to see the truth, because truth does not deny truth and light does not deny light. Anything that would keep you from seeing the clear path to what is real, I consider a witch.
I'm talking about the housing court, all type of stuff, man. It was just crazy. It was crazy because I guess the spirit of discernment was allowing me to see how they are. You know what I mean? But basically that thing is, I went to housing court on the 30th, so I got to the 30th of July to move out of this apartment. So I feel as if I was supposed to be doing. I can share this story now because I'm more comfortable. But one time I was basically, I'm 23 now, but when this was happening, I was around 17, 18. I had my grandmother moved to a co-op, so I tried to hold on to the apartment. But one of my elders, my uncle, he was like, just leave the apartment alone. But I was being naive, and I was like, oh, well, I can do anything. I can handle it. And I tried to handle it myself, and, you know, I got into it with environmental forces and whatever. But in my meditations and my studies, I came to this point. It was for, like, 5 minutes. But basically, I broke the spell of everything, and it was just, like, 5 minute clarity, but then everything all kind of shit was going on around. I didn't know, I was scared, man. I didn't know what was going on. But as I started doing more research, then I understood that certain people have those gifts and to be able to discern stuff. And there's different groups out there, like there's something called the Israelites, and they talk about the true original peoples. Like, for example, I tell people, you know, going to school, I was taught that the Egyptians were white. So I didn't learn that they weren't, they probably were white Egyptians, but not the actual Egyptians were more than likely people of hue or color. And I didn't learn that till, like, I didn't acknowledge that fact fully till, like,
I can only say this to you, just to make a long story short. I've seen a lot of what is called Afrocentricism. And I've seen a lot of what people call Hebrew Israelitism, principally. I can only say that I see so many differences among them that it should be our utmost concern at this point in time, realizing that Israel should be a people, according to Zephaniah 3:13. It says, Israel must become a people that speaks no lies, does no iniquity, has none to harm them. In other words, none to harm or dissuade from within or without. Taking that into consideration, when you see all the differences that exist among us, our utmost concern should be is that in some way, apparently, we have not fully understood or kept the prime directive or the prime command of all. Hear, O Israel, the Most High is one, declared that his people must also be one. And it means that we must love and seek him with all our minds, hearts, souls, and might. Not necessarily, as some would say, to exalt themselves or any institution or so-called denominational faction, but seek the truth of him for the blessing of us all, loving your neighbor as yourself, seeking to be the best possible example. But what I see is a multitude of institutions that in their self-righteousness are not necessarily willing to do that. They instead, if you show them something beyond what has been common to their thinking, even though it might be written in the scriptures 1,000 times, many of them will still hold the illusion or the ill vision or the lack of vision. Because that word illusion is like, you know, the U is a V. It's a lack of vision. Now, people destroy for lack of knowledge, lack of vision, lack of understanding. My people are divided. The word for destruction is also divided and confused. So if you start talking about the things that, let's just say, make men whole, because understand, purity and completion offers one choice. If you start talking about the things that cause men to consider all things, a lot of institutions prefer not to hear it because they want to call themselves wise as they are. They don't want to tell folks that for a long time they have actually lied to the people. What I mean by that is this. Most of them told me a long time ago that every lie or half-truth that men believe oftentimes acts as an obstacle to keep men from believing the greater truth or even seeking it, seeking to be justified by themselves. You say the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What they think they know, not giving consideration to all that he has said, is not wisdom at all. Or how can anybody say that it is wise for them to ignore or consider in some way, let's just say, a shallow-minded thought, anything the Most High has declared? That's not wisdom. That's not wise. In fact, it insults it. And it's amazing to me that people feel like they can insult the Most High and the smallness or the shallow-mindedness of their thinking and think that that grants them favor to be taught in the first place. Like I said, a lot of the mess has been carried on for some time. It's time to look up beyond it.
Well, what I could say is, man, we're right there. I'm telling you, man, I just got to figure out what's what. And I don't know, I guess coming into this incarnation or however they explain it in those Hindu teachings and all that stuff, I know that we're more than likely, because a lot of babies appear to be smarter than adults. So, and it's the spirit that's the teacher. And I think we're born with all the information we need to know.
I'll put it to you this way. I wouldn't say we're born with all the information we need to know, or else man would not have to receive a spirit that awakens us to a higher sense of testimony or a higher sense of realization. I won't insult the Holy Spirit in that regard. That's why the reason why scripture says you must be born again. Most people don't realize what that means. It means you have to receive a teaching from beyond this world. Because after the mere flesh, it's not possible to awaken to the fullness of what is literally a spiritual testimony, word of God.
I got so many questions, man. All right, so that's the thing with the weed. I asked the question about the I'm just excited, man, because I'm telling, like I was saying, I was in that situation for a while, so I just want to immerse myself in the truth, man. Just the truth. So I have about a couple dollars, man, and I was thinking about I'm gonna probably go to Jamaica. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do right now because, basically, I was holding stuff back, but at the same time, because there's a very, very sinister agenda. But I'm sure that God is able. So, but I know the Bible says that the multitude is supposed to be a gathering of the multitude. Okay, and another question I was going to ask is there any indication in the Bible that there's going to be an exodus from this place or?
The scriptures actually relate that the elect will be called from the four, let's just say, the four directions of the whole earth to return unto Jerusalem. And most people don't understand what that's really saying. In Joel 2:32, it says, ultimately it says that in the latter day, it should come to pass that all who call upon the name of the Most High should be delivered. It says in Jerusalem should be delivered to the remnant whom the Most High has called. What it means is that at a time when Messiah appears to declare, in fact, what is the truth of the Holy Name. Okay, he says he's all that he is, everything that he is. Those who are willing to trust in him who is called by that name to reveal that righteousness, he says in Jerusalem, in a city of peace, shall be deliverance, or let's just say a place whereby men might be both safe, saved, and secure, at peace, to a remnant whom the Most High himself has called. That does not mean this, that is according to people's own vanities. Because the truth of the matter is nobody's going to come to the truth but those who the Most High has called and who respond wisely. That's simple. Simply that this man simply does not have the power to see beyond all the illusions that, let's just say, this adversary has established in this world. Simply because the Creator is simply who he is. Being that the Creator is exactly who he says he is, it means that he himself has been the one who ultimately introduces you to him. Now, the scripture in Romans 11:20, Romans 10, and it says, not all have heard the preaching of the gospel. Not all have heard the whole word. So faith comes by hearing, and it really means a word from the Most High. What it really relates is that the rulers are not teaching you everything that you need to know. It's the Most High that even if you were to hear someone teach these things, it's the Most High that has to consecrate your mind to be able to understand that those words are true. It's kind of like when Messiah said, when he said, there's many things I long to tell you, but you can't grasp them yet till the Holy Spirit has come. He was saying he himself speaking was not sufficient for wake up until the Most High consecrates the mind on the same plane to comprehend. But I got a couple of seconds left, sir, and I thank you for listening. And I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. To his might, honor, and his praise always. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hey, I was amazed. It looked like they left you on a little bit. Sometimes Blog Talk will cut you off right after the show time is out. But, hey.
Okay. Like I said, well, again,
I thank the Most
my
High
name
for
is Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Say again.
Blessings and thanks. I'm Andrew from the Bronx. I'm certain I'm gonna possibly give you a phone call within a couple coming days. Just in regards to what next, man, and studying scriptures and instruction and insight.
Hey, bro.
Because
I thank the Most High to be able to do what I can, and I pray for yours and everybody else's spirit who would search with a pure heart because. Quite frankly, we live in a society today that people have to understand it's only going to be the most humble and diligent soul that will come to understand. Got a boogie, man. I know any second now they're going to cut us off. So, like I said, I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. Hey, thank you all for listening. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. May the Lord bless
you. You too, sir. Absolutely. All Israel, pray for our awakening.